Yeah, thank you for driving all the way in from Long Beach, Carson, Chatsworth, Los Angeles. You're everywhere.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Protection America, Inc. You're based out of Chatsworth. I know that.
Yes.
And got to tell you, very impressed with your company. I did some research. Plus, we've known each other for a while. But I saw the quality of your clients. And congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
You're doing a hell of a job. I don't know what you're doing, but we're going to talk about it.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind.
No, that's why I'm here.
All right. So we got to figure out what the recipe is, but that recipe starts with you. If you don't mind, let's go back to your, I want to say go back to your childhood. I always say that in the beginning of my podcast. Tell me about you a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Tell me about family. Where'd you grow up? And then we'll lead into the security business.
Yeah.
Talk about all your nightmares, your problems. It's a therapy session at the same time.
You know. A lot of that. So I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, Northridge area for the most part. Went to school there. And then I went to college at Cal State Northridge. Got my degree in psychology, minor in biology. I was going to pursue medicine. So I actually had plans to become a doctor. I come from like a Middle Eastern, very traditional family, and that's you either got to be a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer. Those are the only options. And I decided to do that. Things happened, family stuff. And so that kind of got put on hold. So while I was in college, I was just doing security work, just at nighttime, part-time work. And once I had to assume the role of head of household, I decided to just pursue security because I started to understand the concept of it and how I could capitalize and scale it. But I was just a guard at that point, right? So then I got hooked up with Allied. At that point, they were still Universal Protection. I became an account manager there out of West LA and just started to realize that the bigger you get, it seems like the service quality starts to diminish. And so for me, I started to think outside of just being an employee and decided to just take my chances. And then in 2016, I left Allied. 2017, I opened up Protection America officially and just went from there. And here we are.
So you could have been a doctor working on somebody.
Yes.
So when did you bump your head? And is that what happened? Did you bump your head and you said?
I must have.
Yeah,
I must have. Throughout all 4 years of college, I was just working as a guard. And then I was working at Allied. And so a manager position opened up. I applied. I got it. And then after graduating CSUN, I just went with it because, like I said, some things happened with the family. I had to assume some financial responsibility. And so I had to put the medicine to the side, and I just ran with it. I never looked back. And sometimes I regret it. Sometimes I don't. But that's just where life took me.
You're definitely driven. You can see that in your business.
Yes.
I've seen that in conversations that we have.
You're
very matter of fact. You're conscious of time.
Yes.
And you're professional at it as well. You really are. I mean, I can talk to a lot of different security companies. I'm not just doing that to compliment you on a podcast. I'm telling you the truth. And people will see it as you talk. You can tell. But that's very interesting. What kind of medicine did you want? I'm just curious. What were you, general?
Yeah, internal medicine. Wasn't trying to do anything crazy like surgery or anything.
Yeah.
But like general practitioner, family medicine, something like that.
And you said psychology too? So
that
fits. That's perfect for this industry.
It actually worked out for me. Yeah, and I didn't really see that coming. I was very intrigued by the subject because the misconception is that you have to be a biochemistry major or a physics major or something science related in order to become a doctor, which no, it's not the case. You can major in English and just finish all the prerequisites that you need to do for medical school, pass the MCAT, et cetera, and then you can become a doctor. So I really was intrigued by psychology, which has translated with me understanding my employees and just the complexities of the business itself.
Yeah, I think that's a win-win because I have a friend who's a doctor, and I'm not going to mention his name because I'm going to talk crap for a minute, but that's a big part.
Yeah.
But teach him to go play tennis. Go teach him. It's kind of like kids today. They don't know how to communicate in this cold, your terminal, right? Mm-hmm. It's just matter of fact, medicine, hardcore. Hey, don't forget, somebody just passed away right now. They have a family. Let's think about the patient. Give it a minute. It's not just leave the room. I know it may sound cold, but I think when you said that right away, I go, wow, that's why you're so great, probably with the people side.
Because empathy is a huge thing.
Sure.
And being able to understand empathy and utilize it and extend it to people, it works, especially with your employees, low-wage paid employees, by the way.
Yep.
So we have to empathize with them in order to help them succeed.
Absolutely. And it's nice to have been there, especially when we have our problems, whether it be family issues and stuff, to be around that where things aren't perfect all the time. You just understand where people are going. It's a people business. I don't have to tell you that. You obviously do it.
It's people-based.
Try to explain it all the time. Your employees, culture is everything.
Yes.
Not just the word, practice. You represent yourself in that office. And I've told people time and time, it's how you even pick up the phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat it again. When you're in your office and your employees say, hey, you got a phone call, and you go, tell them I'm not here.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to talk to that guy. Or I don't like that guy. That's all seen by employees. Mm-hmm. And they pick up on that real quick. But when you're the other way and people see that, you're for real, they'll go the mile for you. It's a lot harder for them to make that phone call and lie to you. Honestly. Does it make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, they'll call, hey, Ed, this is my situation. And go, okay, great, I'm always here for you.
Yes.
And it just avoids a lot of problems.
Right? It does.
It really does.
And a lot of times I hear it from my employees. And I don't like to toot my own horn, but they will tell me, like, you're one of the few bosses I've worked for that actually have an open-door policy that will actually take my call. I operate the same way today that I did when I had 3 guards, when I first started. Same way. Same exact way. When I go meet my clients, I am in my patrol car. I am in my manager uniform, maybe not full security uniform. I got my polo with my logo.
Sure.
Black cargos, black boots, because I'm setting the precedent. I'm not going to expect anything from my employees that I'm not going to do. So I do a lot of work with Skid Row. I will go down there, work events, gloves on, mask on, and do searches and show them how to procedurally handle things. And so I set the example. And so it's worked for me so far.
I appreciate you sharing that. I really do. And people need to hear that. So you guys, this is really good information. I love the way this is starting, by the way. And
good.
I appreciate you sharing. That may seem very basic to you, but in today's world, let me ask you, how old are you?
I just turned 37.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
For 37. So education, you've been on the world. You worked out a lot. You did security people. Obviously, your family are very people-oriented too, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes.
What'd they do for a bit of work?
My parents? Mm-hmm. They were actually in insurance.
Okay.
And they did dabble a little bit in security also. They worked security. They're immigrants. They came to this country, and they're just trying to figure it out. They did a little bit of that, transportation, like with limo services, black car services, things like that. And I don't have the best family dynamic, and I just figured things out on my own, decided what I wanted to do. Because the medicine came as pressure from my parents. And so when I just went off on my own, that's when I decided that I was going to just put everything into security. I don't know if that was the right call. But I'm grateful for what has come from it.
In any business, being an entrepreneur, you're always going to say that. And anybody that's humble is always going to have the way you talk.
Yeah.
You're humble, dude. I can totally see that. Because everybody else saying, I got in and I cracked a whip. Listen, anybody's been in this business any length of time, you and I both know, there's ups and downs and everything. I don't care how great you are. I don't care if you're a star quarterback. Somebody's going to intercept your ball. Yeah, somebody's going to intercept your ball. You're going to get hit. And you can get taken out at any time. So I appreciate the humbleness. I appreciate your honesty because, again, that's what this is all about. I'm trying to give back, not just bring people up to entertain and subscribe on the podcast. We're trying to change the industry. I've been in it for 29 years. I want to bring good operators in. I don't think I crushed any cans or begged you to come over here.
No, not at all. I'm here willingly.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I did that because looking at what you're doing and how you operate. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm quite surprised. I bring certain people on podcasts and you hear different things.
Yeah.
But the good part, everybody gets to see that we're all the same. We all have the same issues. So when we have an operator such as yourself explaining the things that you've gone through, not only things you've gone through, but where you came from, medicine, security. A guy from medicine, going to be a doctor, educated, psychology, all that benefit, especially the psychology. Then you jumped into security, and it's a people business. It's skill.
It is.
It really is. Business side, let me ask you, did college teach you the business?
The business itself, no, but it gave me certain skills, being able to write, for example, to write a proposal to a client, just to be how to introduce yourself, how to be structured, how to meet deadlines, discipline. So those concepts are what I was able to utilize and master in security that helped me get to where I am now and where I'm trying to be, which I don't feel like I've even scratched the surface yet.
That's amazing after you just said that. You know, many people are going to go, what's that? Today? What's that mean?
Yeah.
It's so core. It really is. And it's absolutely terrific. So what year did you start when you got in?
Insecurity?
Yeah.
It was, so let's see.
Your own business, I should say.
My own?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. No. What time, what year was it with Ally?
That was 2010 to 2014.
Okay.
And then from there, I had moonlighted at a few other smaller companies. And then I opened Protection America in 2017. That's when I decided to really just pull the trigger.
And like you, I went out and did my homework before I jumped. I went in, I was telling some guys earlier in a previous podcast that I lied, said my grandfather owned a bunch of real estate, and I walked in cold, said we're just looking for different companies. And at that time, they'd walk me back in the office, because this is back in the, this is 90, right? Early 90s. And I'd just go through the interview process with them, because they would back then. I think it was APS and Signal Hill, and there wasn't a bunch of security companies at the time, like it is obviously today. So I did my homework before I jumped, and I did that for a reason. I'm going to say, can I do this? Because you always question yourself, because that's a big jump, right?
Yeah.
You're going to call mom and dad and say, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to go be a security guard.
Exactly.
You're going to what? I'm going to open a security company. What?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
It sounds crazy when you say it.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, and here's the truth on my end. My family was dysfunctional. My dad was a cop, but he was killed in a plane crash in 92.
Wow.
Sorry, I would have never left. Oh, no, it's okay. It would have been a long time. I would have never left the sheriff's department. That was my life. Now, right. He was a cop, but I remember wanting to be a cop before my dad even became a cop, my best friend in school. But where I was going with that is that it was high pressure with him. He was abusive and stuff. So I don't think I would have made that jump, because he would have told me, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And here at the time, 28, 29, I would have said, well, we know it's actually a lot older, but I would have said no because of the pressure from him.
Yeah.
Because that stronghold.
Yeah.
But when he was killed in that plane crash, be honest, it was like a lot of pressure off me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it was a lot of pressure. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to jump. I'm going to do it. And I don't know, it sounds weird. Everybody goes, you're suicidal. How could you leave? How could you do something like that? Because back in the day, 8 to 5, hold a job, retire,
job
guaranteed,
secured,
job
right.
security. What, are you crazy?
Yeah.
And you do what?
Yeah.
Yeah, punch in, punch out. So I'm sure you sat there for a little bit. That was a big move for you.
Yeah, I wasn't totally sold on it initially. I knew that I was up against a big battle here. This was going to be very challenging. And at that time, it wasn't as concentrated as it is now. Like, obviously, there are a lot of security companies now, more than before. But still, the competition was pretty steep back then. But I gambled on myself, rolled the dice. I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out. And I'm telling you, up until just a few years ago, it constantly ran through my head. Did I make the right choice? Should I just back out now, take my losses and just call it a day and figure something else out, maybe go back to school? I had those thoughts. To be frank, I still have those thoughts sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that if you don't have those thoughts, then you're not really working hard enough.
No.
You should be challenged to the point where you think about walking away sometimes, because it gets so crazy.
And I was right there, but way ahead of me. I was thinking of a taco truck. I was looking for anything, man. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get rid of the pain half the time. And you know what the worst part was? And tell me if you kind of experienced this too. So when I left the department, we have our own gang, sheriff's department. You have your own gang. You have your own buddies.
Yep.
It's a tight clique. So when they found out that I was leaving, I can't even tell you how many guys literally just quit talking to me.
Really?
How dare you? And then I had a lieutenant on the department said, I can't believe you're leaving. You'll be back. And I'll never forget. And you know why I didn't come back?
Why?
Because of him. So I am great. I'm not the smartest guy. That's for damn sure. Anybody knows that, I'm sure. But the one thing is, I can be a bulldog. When a gun's held to my head, I can go that far. And that's probably my childhood raising, being pressure, being able to do something, or that fear. And I'm not trying to boast. I'm just saying. But when it gets down to the middle, I know that I'm gonna do whatever I got to do.
Yeah,
it's a personal thing to me. I'm gonna get that part done. So that's the only thing I think I had going for me.
Yeah,
is no matter what, I'm gonna try to make this work, even if I got to work the damn car.
Absolutely.
And support myself. And I'm not telling anybody. And I'm not around the corner. Everybody called me. How you doing? What's going on? They didn't care. They just wanted to know, are you failing yet?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Are you failing yet?
Exactly.
Because not too many people. There's very few friends that you can put on your finger that truly care. I know that sounds cold, but
it is the truth.
Do you think so?
My circle has gotten smaller and smaller as I've continued to get more and more successful.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. Because people want to see you do well. They just don't want to see you doing better than them.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, you're doing good? That's great.
Yeah.
But are you doing better than me?
Yeah, the dinners get pretty expensive, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
It's like owning a boat. Have a nice boat, and you take everybody for a great time.
Yeah.
And I had to put a sign that the boat runs on gas, not thanks. I invited them, but you get my drift.
Of course.
Yeah. Don't worry about cleaning it. They're just glad you had a good time. Yeah, it's funny. Boy, I think we kind of, I love your thought process, man. I really do. Your first account, what'd you go after?
It was an apartment building. It was with equity.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do we all go for apartments? I want to hear from you.
I know. I don't. So initially when we got in the industry, I noticed that a lot of the smaller company that I was moonlighting with, their biggest client base was apartment buildings. I guess there's not as many gatekeepers. So you can get through to the property manager if you really try hard enough.
You were cold calling, right?
Yeah.
So was I did the same. Yeah. We could cold call back then, right?
Yeah. That doesn't fly anymore.
Yeah, I know.
But that was the only way. You could mail out flyers and whatnot and try to get the emails. So that was my thing, was you have the gatekeeper. So I would try to just get the property manager's email. You just keep sending the emails, follow up. At some point in time, the vendor messes up and they look in their email, who sent me a bid? And then boom, your name comes up. Or it's just a matter of chance. And so it's a numbers game to me. So you call 1,000 people, you might get 10 responses. Mm-hmm. Out of those 10, you may be able to land one or two of them. It's a very small percentage, but volume and persistence is the key.
See, I can tell you did it.
Oh, yeah.
I could tell you did that.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have somebody else call.
Too many no's.
Oh.
Way too many, to the point where I was like, this is not working. Like, I'm not going to get contracts.
Yeah.
And then one came in and another came in. And then my biggest thing that I really tried to do was grow within one company. So if I'm with equity and I got one property, my goal was to get 5, 10, 15. Now I've got about 50 equity properties. But, yeah, it started with an apartment building and two more in Santa Monica, really small, 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., six-hour shifts, very old buildings. And those were my first three accounts. It was two properties in Santa Monica and one with equity in Valencia.
Wow. Yeah, I got in my car and I drove. I didn't even have it mapped out. It was a Thomas guide at the time. I drive around and go, oh, let's give that one a shot. Then I learned they got to be so big. Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I had to learn that one.
Yeah.
100 unit doesn't want security. They don't have a budget.
Exactly.
Right? So that's how far back. And I'd go in the door, and I found out about every 10 to 20, I'd get one or two.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was just pure luck. Walk in the door, they go, yeah, you know what?
Actually, we're interested in a change. Yeah. I'm not happy with my current vendor.
And you know what the talent was? The talent was this, going in the door and knowing not only how to get to the property manager what to say, but knowing when to leave. And that's all part of the psychology, just having basic people skills.
Yes.
Thinking to myself, if I would have put anybody else in here and they would have been aggressive with that personality, that manager, there's no way we blew it. So it has to be me at first.
Exactly.
Problem is, you feel like it has to be me. Operations has to be me. The first night has to be me. You get that, and it's just hard to find your managers, your qualified managers to live and breathe your mission statement, your core values, and your culture that you're trying to build.
Who will care about your business as much as you? So my biggest challenge in this industry has been delegation. I have a big sense of a need for control because I don't think anybody's going to care as much as I do, and that's the reality of it.
It's the truth.
It is. I've been fortunate enough now to be able to find a manager team that seemingly care as much as I do, but that was my challenge. And I just started delegating like a year, maybe 2 years ago.
And how long you been in the business?
8 years.
Okay. So please, can you share?
Yes.
Tell me what took you to start delegating. And I don't want to say it. I want to hear it from you because I'm curious. I'm going to learn something here.
Sure.
So tell me. Yeah. I just want to hear from you. Tell me when you said, I want to delegate.
Yeah.
Okay. To me, I'm just going to set the record. Do I have the money to delegate?
Right.
To keep the person a long time?
Exactly.
And do I trust? Okay, so you take it from there.
Yeah.
Why'd you delegate?
it was getting a little too hard for me to manage everything. So I was wearing every hat. I was the CFO, the CEO, the COO, account manager. And when I first started, I was doing the patrol. So I once I started building a small portfolio with equity, I was doing the patrol at nighttime.
See, dude, you were a doctor. You're chief surgeon.
Yeah.
You became a doctor.
Yeah, literally. As we continue to grow, my goal when I first started, Chris, was I need to get to 100 guards. That was my goal. I'm getting to 100 guards and that's it. I'm good. I'm going to retire. That's it for me. And so once I got there, I was like, okay, no, this isn't enough. Let me keep going. And then I think once we reached about 200, I was like, okay, now this is getting to the point where I'm counterproductive. I'm not able to, I can't respond to things anymore. I was a one-man show. I did not have an accounting person, did not have a payroll person or an operations person. I had supervisors, but they're field people. There's only so much they can do. And there is a lot of stuff that needs to get done behind the desk. And so once I got to that point, I think at around 200 guards, I was lucky enough to meet Stacy. I think Thomas has spoken with her. I'm not sure if you have. But nonetheless, I met Stacy, who's now my VP of operations, and I took a chance on her. And my biggest thing was trust, right? I'm trusting you with my client base. I'm trusting you with my finances, my entire operation. And she's been a blessing, such a down-to-earth person, so honorable and trustworthy. And so I trust her with everything now. But yeah, it was at that point when I got to around 200 employees where I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work anymore. I was missing things. Things were slipping through the cracks, to be honest. And so that was when I had to take that chance. I didn't love it. I still have issues with it, to be honest.
Oh, that PTSD no matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like getting up in the middle of the night like, oh my God, did this get handled? I wake up in the morning like praying, fingers crossed, this got taken care of. And fortunately, I have a good team now. So I have Stacy, who's the VP of operations. I have Jay. He's a field manager. And then I got about five different field managers that work below Jay. And so the delegation process started about 2 years ago, and it really just went into full effect about a year ago.
Okay, so I'm going to give Stacy a shout out right now.
Yes,
okay,
Stacy Hofstetter.
Stacy Hofstetter.
Yes.
All right, Stacy, that is a huge compliment. Because let me tell you, tell me if I'm wrong, this is why you got that compliment. Because when there was a new account and something came up, and it was very, very important. Ed would say, Stacy, do you got this? And you'd say, yes, Ed, I got it.
Yep.
And did you remember this and this? Yeah, Ed, I got that. And then he called you the night after the contract first started. And she said, Stacy, how did everything go? And you said, perfect, Ed.
Done.
Did you get this? Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah. What about this? Did you do this? And Stacy said, got it.
There isn't a request I've made of her that she hasn't been able to take care of.
Yeah, me. So Stacy, how did I know? How did I know? Because I've been there. And eagles are on high cliffs, Stacy. What I mean by that, eagles are on high cliffs.
Yes.
They're far and few between. So yes. Congratulations. Congratulations to you, because
thank
I
you.
Know it took your trust. She had to trust you, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she's any kind of person like you say she is, and I'm sure she is, obviously. We just said she was. You have to build that trust to get that.
Yes. And it was built very quickly to the point now I trust her with my life, not just my business.
Yeah, that's huge.
So we've grown on a personal level as friends. As almost, I see her as a sibling at this point, a family. And she came from, where was she at? Professional Security Consultants. Huge company. I think they got about 4,000 employees.
Oh, I love them when they come from them.
Huge company. She left because she saw the nonsense. And she took a chance with me. She was getting paid very well. I couldn't pay her what they were paying her.
Sure.
Now I can.
Yeah.
But at the time, I couldn't.
Yeah.
And so she took a pay cut. She came to a small company and took a chance on me just because off of our first meeting, we're big on energy. Like, I can feel energy sometimes. And we both clicked immediately. And from there, we just ran with it. And now she is my second in command, and everybody knows that. So I'm very grateful to her.
Congratulations. That's a very big deal. And good for you. It just feels good to be able to say that, doesn't it?
It does.
Because it takes such a long time to get there when you find somebody like that. You almost want to put a chip in them. Can't go anywhere.
I tell her all the time, don't you ever think about leaving.
Yeah.
You leave, I'm done. I'm calling it quits.
Because that's when you turn German and you go, Viva find you.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
she knows.
Oh, man. Congratulations, man. I wish I would have had that. I did, and to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I had a person who was a pit bull. But the only problem, Ed, I could work her 24/7, and she did. Her name was Debbie Elton. Everybody knows her. We called her the parking czar because she just was nonstop. Just the only problem, and Debbie, you already know this, so if you watch this, I still love you, but she's just a little too, if somebody was doing something wrong, she would just say, don't do it that way. Like, Debbie, we got to polish that up a little bit, okay? It's not going to go too far. And that was the only problem. And I couldn't have her deal with too many clients, but there were some clients that were like the same way. That was perfect. They understood that and liked it and appreciated it. There was no, she wouldn't be good at poker, let me put it that way. Okay, but yeah, congratulations. That's fantastic. So you got Stacy.
Yes.
You're doing the multi-housing. Now you're doing a resort property. Equity doesn't mess around. There's not too much HUD, unless they've changed a lot. I don't know. But Equity's pretty sharp. They got pretty clean properties.
Yes. So a lot of high-end luxury apartment buildings, high-rises.
Yeah. That's residence. That's communities. That's amenities. Those are
$3,000-$4,000 for a one-bedroom type stuff.
Absolutely. So. And they're nice communities. So that's pretty good. And a lot of people have the fear, too. I know my fear was, I want all those 5 or 10. But I was thinking, man, I got to go out and get the other ones, too, because my fear was, what if we do a bad job over here and I lose those 10 overnight?
Yes.
That was my fear.
That is... You know? That is the scariest part about having portfolio contracts, because you mess up one and then the word spreads.
Yep.
The same way you gain the contracts, which it comes through word of mouth and referrals.
Yeah.
And so you do a bad job at this place, then the word spreads. Oh, no, don't use them. And then that's it.
No, you bring up a really good point. Let me ask you your thought on this. This may sound old school. So I'd go to those meetings and everybody loved what we were doing at the time. And it would be a lunch and learn. To get more of the portfolio, okay? Big lunch, and I'd watch around the table, bring the psychology in, and I'd look for the managers and see who would respond. In other words, who's really proactive? At the time, it's not like it is today. LinkedIn, I'm a big LinkedIn guy. I'd go in and I'd look at personalities. I'd look at who's gonna be at the meeting. I wanna see who, you know, oh, Debbie's wonderful. We got a bunch of Stacy's working here. Then I know who's proactive. I know who's got the communities. I know the sister properties. I know where they're at. So I've done my little homework with them. So when I go in the meeting, I want to see people proactive. If somebody's digging into their ham sandwich at bottom right away and they're on their phone, they're not interested in my meeting, which means if I take on a contract with them, the same thing is going to apply. And I don't want a cancer cell to start. Because you're right. You get that one person and they're just that barking dog. Mm-hmm. It's that little dog you walk by.
Yeah.
It's just annoying as hell.
Yeah.
And it bites every time, no matter what kind of cookies. In fact, you can feed it a cookie and it's still
going
to bite you.
Still going,
I don't need that because I don't want that problem. So if that's any value to anybody, do you feel that way sometimes? Have you experienced any of that?
Absolutely. And I think that goes to the concept of quality over quantity. And just to expand on that, when you're small and starting out, you pretty much will pick up anything and everything. So I picked up a lot of very bad contracts initially. And it took time to learn that not all money is good money. Even though when you're starting out, I feel like it's just innately the response to want to grab anything that comes your way. And then so I got to a point where, you know, thankfully, by the grace of God, I'm able to now, I'm selective. I won't do bars. I won't do clubs. I won't do events. I don't care how big they are. I need 10,000 guards today at $50 an hour. I won't do it. Because I'm always looking at liability now. And so as you grow, you have to gauge that. Is it just how much money you're going to make off of it? How much exposure do you have? And so now we're looking at risk to reward ratios all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's funny. I love hearing that because we all done that. And everybody comes in here.
Yeah.
I say, everybody does that. We all grab it because it looks in the portfolio. And the other thing is if we're not real strong business guys and we aren't looking at the numbers every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes. We don't want to look at them. Sometimes we just like to look at the number on the board. Oh, we've got $150,000 we're billing a month. Yeah. Looks good.
Yes.
But you go, wow, I didn't realize my supervisor, who I'm paying triples, working that account. Mm-hmm. I'm basically paid for that contract.
Yes. You're in the
There's no money. I'm in the red. How long have we been doing that? Long time.
Long time.
But it's so important.
But it's part of the process. I think it's necessary.
Sure.
It's necessary. You have to build a portfolio. You have to show that you have business. Because when you start approaching these bigger clients, they want to say, what have you done? Who do you service? If you go do one of these big RFPs, the first thing they ask you is, who are similar clients that you've serviced? If I'm going to give you the housing authority, a location with the housing authority, what have you done that's similar to this?
Right.
You only do luxury apartment buildings, then you don't understand the population. You don't understand the context here. So it's a double-edged sword. You have to go after bad contracts sometimes just to build yourself up. And then I think from there you can start cleaning house a little bit and then being selective, and that's fortunately where I've gotten to now.
Yeah, the only problem with just bad contracts, you've learned this, maybe not as much today, but when I picked up bad contracts, I go, wow, that was easy. I walked in the door and got that one time. Guess what? The guy was a bad payer.
Yeah.
The guy never paid his bill. I didn't do my homework on the guy. Right. He was a nightmare. That's why he picked me up. It wasn't my
your elite skills.
It was my elite skills. Boy, I sucked him in. Yeah. No, he sucked me in. So we have to be very careful when we pick that crap up, and numbers will bury you, as we all know. But it's all part of the process of learning. That hurts. No, it stings. No, it really hurts. I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
Okay. That's when you learn.
Yeah.
And luckily, you got to stay on your numbers, that's for sure. But when you're new, it's all part of it.
It's part of the process. Till this day, I have still picked up a contract where I was certain it's a good contract. It's a reputable company. They've been in business for a long time. Everything looks great on paper. And then 2, 3, 4 months in, and hey, I haven't gotten paid yet. What's going on here? And so those things will happen. That's just the nature of the business, unfortunately. We're extending credit. Every day we provide a service, we're extending a credit. Typically, most security companies operate on a net 30 basis. That net 30 is obsolete. There is no such thing. Okay, especially with the work that I do, I work with a lot of nonprofits. They're federally or state funded. And so a lot of times when that funding gets disrupted, I also get disrupted. And so it definitely takes a lot to be able to sustain that, which you have to have your payroll covered for at least a few months in advance, your overhead, your operational expenses, and everything that comes with it. And it's challenging. Lines of credit you got to pull, and loans and credit cards. And you put yourself in a really tough position to try to continue to grow. And I think that's one of the challenges that we face.
Yeah. When I opened my first security company, I killed it, right? I was out there getting sales. And I said, hey, do you guys pay? Oh, yeah, we pay net 30. I said, okay.
Yeah.
I kept loading them, bringing them in. I had to shut it down.
Really?
Yeah. Grew too fast.
Yeah.
Couldn't meet payroll.
Yeah.
Wasn't ready for it. I didn't have a big business degree. And I thought people were going to pay me. And hell, I picked up the shop and moved to a location where they delivered the mail in the morning so I could reduce stress. Wonder if I was going to meet my employees, payroll. And they're all sitting in your office and you're like, please, please, somebody. Yeah. You're pulling out your own credit cards.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Tell them again, Ed. I always say 6 months worth of payroll.
At
be
least.
Safe. Minimum.
At the bare minimum. That is my number one rule. Nothing gets paid before the guards.
Yeah, because when you don't, tell them what happens.
It gets real ugly. And let me tell you, California has made it just a open sea of legalities when it comes to paying your guards or not paying them properly, breaks and everything that comes with it. It is just wide open for litigation.
Huge litigation and huge checks, you guys.
Yes.
I know you think about, BCIS isn't on top of these other guard companies. They're not going to get after me. When it comes to that, they will. Class action, employees will come in. You get a cancer cell in your operation. Mm-hmm. You get some people come in just to do that. You got to be on top
of that
as well.
That's their M.O.
That's their M.O.
Yes.
So you better make sure you're dialed in. They're taking their breaks. You're forcing them. If they're not doing it and you're telling them, that's ugly, huh?
It's very ugly. It's tough. And it almost feels like you're being set up for failure because you're a small business. You're supporting and putting money into the economy and giving people jobs, and then at the slightest inconvenience or the slightest discrepancy, boom, you get hit with a PAGA lawsuit. That's the biggest thing now, the PAGA thing.
Explain that to them.
So this is essentially what they've done in California is they've instituted this new law, this new legal approach, which is called PAGA. I forget what it stands for exactly. But essentially what it does is you can deputize one employee to represent an entire company, so it takes one person now to structure an entire class action suit. So if it's just one guy that says, hey, he didn't pay me correctly. Okay, now you represent the entire company. He has 300 employees. Cool, we're suing him based on that now. Not just one guy. One guy used to go to the labor board and sit there with a mediator and pay him out right there and you move on.
Right.
Now this goes to the state and they get 75% of the settlement. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. Yeah.
So they get 25%, and guess what? 33% goes to the attorney that's working on the contingency.
Yeah, sounds like we need MAGA. Not doing this. I'm sorry. People are going to drop on the podcast now. Okay. The liberals are going to kill me.
We right. need something.
That's horrible.
It is.
Yeah, and I heard about it all the time, and I've heard checks of 500,000.
Yes, it is huge now. And look, 90% of the time, this is just my personal opinion and experience, it's all frivolous. It's never legitimate. The guy gets pulled from 10 different accounts because he's just horrible, just mm-hmm. not a good employee. He shows up late. He shows up under the influence. He's doing all kinds of things he shouldn't be doing. He's burned himself. And the way I operate is I'm not the kind of guy that just writes you off. I give you a chance. You may have had a bad day. Unfortunately, though, this client you're blacklisted. You can't go there anymore. And so I put you somewhere else. And you burn yourself there and then there and there. And now I'm like, dude, I have nowhere else to put you. What can I do? No worries, Ed. I'm just going to take this to an attorney. You're going to take it to an attorney after all the chances I've given you, and you did it to yourself. And then they end up, guess what? Even if they're wrong, I got to pay for my attorney, and we're going to have some kind of nuisance settlement of some sort. Yep. So here's your $5,000-$10,000 just to buzz off, right?
Yep.
So either way, win or lose, you're losing.
Unbelievable.
It is. It's very daunting. That may be one of the few things that make me really reconsider running a business in California, just because of how easy they've made it.
Yeah.
Whether it's true or not, it's tough.
Yeah. No, I've had my lawsuits. That's for darn sure. Just yeah. unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing, you guys need to protect yourself too.
Yes.
If you got fancy cars and boats and all that other stuff, I'm telling you right now, is you don't let it tie be to you. So that's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to be Larry Parker, Judge Judy right now, but you got to be very careful.
Discretion is paramount.
Yep. You ever heard of a turnip? Look that up. That's what you got to be, a turnip. All right. Because unfortunately, you got to protect yourself for things just like that. And these guys come in business suits. I'm going to take the keys, Ed. I'm going to be the next operations guy. You hire me, you're going to love me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm great. And say, okay, wonderful. Love to have you.
Yeah.
And then they play all this game, whether it's a big workers' comp issue. Yeah. The guy's had a knee problem forever. Yeah. Oh, I have no medical problems, mm-hmm. right?
Now he got hurt on the job. Oh. Now we got a workers' comp.
I had a bleeding heart, so guys come up, hey, back in the day, is there any way you can front my payroll, give me a loan? You can take $25 out of my paycheck if you want. I'll tell you what, I'll do 10. Okay, does that help you out a little bit? Oh, you're so wonderful. Thank you very much. All right, help me help you. And pay it forward. Oh, no problem. Don't pay anything. They quit. Keep my uniforms, right?
Oh,
and then I'm getting sued for the money. And I go, here's the agreement I have with them. They go, oh, sorry, Mr. Anderson. No. That's a civil matter. That's separate. You can't touch his paycheck. If you guys have a problem, he doesn't pay you, then you got to go take him to court. That's your issue.
Yes.
And then what happens? It ruins it for everybody, of course, right? And then you're the hard ass. But yeah.
And that's how it goes, too. You have things in place to protect yourself. If I give you a uniform, $150 package, bomber jacket, two polos, the pants, the boots, et cetera, and I take a deposit from you and you don't return it, so I hold that. Now you have a labor lawsuit.
Yeah.
You didn't pay me in full, although you signed on it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, guys, you like this? We're turning educational. It's turning into a PTSD moment for me. It's starting to shake. I'm starting to cortisol setting in.
Yeah,
right?
I'm telling you.
But there's some good things, right?
It's not all bad.
Is it? Tell me. Help me out, Ed.
It's not all bad. It's a lucrative industry. Let's be completely frank.
Especially if you are doing it right.
If you're doing it right. You have the right reporting platform, you have the right operations team, and you have the right CEO who cares as much about the company as he should, then yes, there will be moments of success and there will be opportunities to grow and to make a lot of good money.
Yeah, and by the way, for the record, CEO is not just a title. Okay, it's a proven track record is what it is, CEO. A lot of times it takes gray hair. A lot of experience, people talking like this with pain points to become a CEO, all right? I love people that bring their card CEO.
And everybody wants to be a CEO until they're actually in the seat.
Yeah.
I tell people that all the time. Like, you think it's all glamour and rosy and peachy over here. I promise you it's not.
Yeah.
You have to take everything home with you. When I'm on vacation or I'm at my kid's basketball game and I'm responding to a client who said a guard just showed up drunk, ruins my day. And so that's what comes with the territory. Everything is carried with you. And so sometimes I envy those that get to clock out. They get to leave it at the door.
That's right.
They get to go home and enjoy their microwave dinner and call it a day. And sometimes the simple things in life are very much undervalued.
Yeah.
And I've grown to understand that now. I'm much more, it's crazy, as you, I don't know, for me, as I've gotten more successful and the business has grown, I've become more of a simple person. The smallest things now bring me joy. When before I used to need a flashy car and I used to need just that notoriety and that recognition and all these things to make me feel important. Good. But that's because I was filling a void. It wasn't tangible.
I love that, Ed. I love that. I was too.
Yeah.
God, I was too.
Faking it.
Oh my God, yeah. Isn't it? And then, and like you said, even if you have it, then you have that core around you and you realize, yeah, just few good people.
Yeah.
Few good things. I'm just happy being healthy, having a car to drive. Yeah. We got it so much better than, I don't need a, what do you call it, like those animal commercials or people starving in it. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And I feel horrible. We're very fortunate. But
yes.
Can you elaborate on that again? Because a lot of people don't understand it because everybody's just driving for that. I think that's a really important. What got you there for that attitude, to like the simple things?
Yeah.
Because when you get there and you cross that, mine was therapy. I had to pay for it to get it.
Right.
And then when I was taking therapy at the time, I was like, I'm not afraid to share. I really am jacked up. Simple things.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it took me understanding, and this was something you had mentioned about like our circles getting smaller and understanding who's around you and for what reasons. And so when, you know, you start to see a little bit of success and people start to notice, now they start gravitating towards you. Now you want to hang out and now you want to do this and you want to do that. And I was younger too, obviously, when I first started out. And so I wanted to impress people and I wanted to show, oh, I'm a big shot and mm-hmm. this, that, and the other. When in reality, I wasn't crap. And so it took humility to understand what really was important, the little things, the simple things, being able to go home, being able to go to my kids' game,
yep.
being able to just spend time with them and just be there, being present, which still I battle with because I'm on my phone all the time and fielding calls and emails and whatnot. But it just took like really understanding what's important and who's important. And it took a lot for me to mature. Maturity is... That's the answer. Maturity is the answer to valuing the little things in life that really matter. Family, quality time, being present, being able to go to your kids after school, back to school night, and that type of stuff is what matters to me. Before, it used to be the cars, the people knowing who I am, what I'm doing. I'm not the guy that posts. I don't even share my stuff on social media. I'm not that guy anymore because I understand what's important now. Is getting the job done.
Boy, what a gift at a young age still.
Yes.
Yeah, it cost me a marriage, honestly, and it cost me a relationship with my daughter.
It almost cost mine.
Yeah, literally. You can only pick up your phone so many times, especially when you're going out with your wife. And I share this all the time. People probably hear this in every podcast. They're probably like, maybe this is for somebody first timers. That's why I share, because I never know it's going to be the first time somebody watches it.
I've never heard it.
Somebody goes, hey, learned it. But same thing. Hey, baby, I'll be right with you. And you think, hey, baby, I'll be right with you, whether it's your wife or your kid. God forbid your kid wants to show you a crayon drawing and you kiss them off for one time. That, you know, because they picked it up. They're a sponge and they're not going to do it next time.
Yeah.
Oh, daddy's on the phone.
Yeah.
Daddy's on the phone. Daddy's
not
on the
available.
Phone. Yeah. And then it kills you when they get 13 or 14 and they go, tell me about your dad's experience. My dad was always on the phone.
Yes.
It's like that movie, Cats in the Cradle, that song. Every time that comes on, dude, makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
I kill myself.
Yeah.
I wish I could go and go back. It'd be so different. God, it would be different. So I go, the only thing I can do is get on a podcast and honestly share that and not be embarrassed to share that with people. So maybe they get it. And I've told my employees, I call them, they're not employees, I told my family.
Yeah.
People from Vision, Thomas and Curtis and Jacob and Grant and everybody that's my family. Vision is a family.
Yes.
It's a group in here, Danny and Steve. I tell them all the time, this is what happened and go take that vacation. And when I'm on the phone with them and their daughter comes up, I go, take it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll hang up. And then I call the wives and I say, hey, listen, I'll even go that far. I'll tell them, I don't want to see anybody go through that because you're not around the corner. You're thousands of miles around the corner. Because everybody go, how's things going? What does everybody, your friends, say? How's things going?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Sounds like you're right around the corner from great success.
Yeah.
You go, yeah. 1994, 1996. Mm-hmm. How you doing? I'm right around the corner. Sounds like you're right around the corner. You're growing. That's good. It just, it never ends. So don't forget the important stuff. And by the way, what happens when you make things simple? Everything opens up.
It does.
Easier.
It does.
And what success comes. Because you put your priorities in check. God's law. Simple.
And the moment I did that was the moment things opened up for me. And to your point, you said you lost your marriage as a result of it, right? And I was at the brink of that because I could not delegate. And so everything was poured into trying to create this business, trying to get it to where I'm at now. And so it's a catch-22. You have to pick sometimes. It's a tough choice to make. Do you compromise your family for the sake of success? Because ultimately, I'm doing it to set up my family. I'm not doing it for me, per se. I have a limited amount of time in this world. But I'm trying to pass on something to my son that he can pass on to his, so on and so forth, because I did not have that luxury, which I'm grateful for. I'm glad I wasn't a trust fund baby.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have it something handed to me where I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I had to worry a lot. Yep. I still worry.
Sure.
And I think that's what drives me to want to be better, succeed, and also still find the time to value my family and be there.
Yeah, that was my problem. I'm doing it for, I took it the other way. My wife said, babe, I'm trying to put this together so these girls could have college. I want to lead them something. I didn't have it. This is what I want to do. And I was the complete opposite. I was like, don't you see what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
The 2 o'clock phone calls and the alarm goes off and somebody wrecked your car. The manager calling you at 7 o'clock. We can't have breakfast with the kids. The kids are late at school.
Yes.
We come back. I want to have a decent dinner with you. I'd love to talk about us, not your business. Your supervisor calls. When's it end? Baby, it's a 24-hour business. I don't give you a 24-hour business. I can't just throw it away. I've got employees. Okay. I guess you could throw it away. What's more important to you?
You have to pick.
Yeah. But it's all about, you know, who you are as an individual or how were you raised? How are you going to take that? I'm not going to let her talk to me that way. My dad didn't let my mom talk that way. My dad talked to my mom that way. Right. So then you go, I've got attachment issues. It's just, so it's not just, how can I put it? It's, I guess you can go back to simple things from the Bible. The Bible's never changed.
Yeah.
But the vehicle code has, and the criminal code has every year. So I guess it's just the simple things, right?
Yes.
And you've done that. You go off on a tangent, but it's very, it's a passionate thing for me.
It's all interconnected.
I think. It's all interconnected. And whatever you guys do, just, you, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And I just love to hear that you simplified that and you're living proof, obviously. And I've learned something from you. You know what that was?
What was that?
I called your phone. And when I called your phone, I got a very professional answering service that I swore was your sister or cousin that was calling. They were very nice on the phone, took my call, asked if it was important, said all the right things. And I hung up and thought to myself, 30 years now, I thought to myself, why don't I do that?
It was a game changer for me, man.
Why don't I do that? Because I'm on the phone constantly. I go, oh, it'll only be 5 minutes. And 5 minutes turns to 15. And then at the end of the day, I go, I didn't get a damn thing done today. But do I feel good? No, I feel horrible.
That implementation for me was the biggest change because my phone would ring nonstop. And sometimes it's ringing for things that I shouldn't be responding to.
Sure.
I'm running late to work. Why are you telling me?
Yeah.
And so when I set up the dispatch service to where now if you call my phone, you're not talking to me. You're talking to somebody behind the desk. And if you text me, you'll get me.
Yeah.
But if you call me, it's getting filtered now. And so now I'm only making calls that are important to my clients, or there's a code red situation, place is on fire, or we got some legal issues or whatnot, then yes, I'm jumping in on that. So yeah, having that in place has been life-changing for me.
Good move. You guys should think of something like that. Definitely. Now, I don't recommend when you're first starting out.
No.
But absolutely.
That just started in 2025,
by the way. I get it. I get it. That's part of your release program, right? Yeah, absolutely.
All part of the delegated.
It's part of learning that the business. But yeah, no, I was very impressed. And it was the right one, too. They said all the right things.
Yeah. And it's all structured based on what I think is important.
Yeah.
I don't let them determine it. This is what we need to know. Who's calling? Why are you calling? What's your name? What's your business? And how can we help you?
Yeah.
That way I get everything I need to know real short and brief. Yeah. And then I can filter that information and figure out what I need to do accordingly.
Well, that's a great job.
Thank you.
Great job. All right, I'm going to calm down now. I went back with you, man. I went back in time.
Yeah.
By the way, 4 or 5 security companies, myself.
Really?
Before Silvertrek.
No kidding.
Bad partnerships, learning, multi-housing. That's how I built Silvertrek.
Interesting.
Everybody thinks, oh, I sat with a code writer, and I'm not a code writer.
Yeah.
I just knew, I always tell people when I talk to them, I says, I'm never going to tell you what to do. I'll just tell you what not to do. Like all the stuff I'm telling you, all the stuff. Tell you what not to do. If you take something from it, great. But I've got a lot of screw-ups, so it seems to be pretty valuable for a lot of people.
It is. Experience is invaluable.
Yeah. Look at me. I'm only 26 years old.
Can't tell.
Really? I didn't think so either. I think I might get my eyes lifted and some Botox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get rid of some of the lines. I call this gray. It's called Hard Knocks. Mm. It's a color called Hard Knocks gray.
Yeah.
I'll put that in.
It's a special order.
Special order for sure. You're doing all the great stuff, but where do you, so you're doing high-end residential. Let's talk about, I might as well, let's give some plugs. Tell me what made you go to software in the beginning.
Vision Insights is the simplest, most powerful security guard management software. No long training, no complicated systems. Guards can start reporting in minutes. Train your teams with micro trainings, attaching video to individual checkpoints to walk them through sensitive procedures. Submit accurate reports every time with dynamic observations that automatically rewrite, categorize, and prioritize, removing human error. And grow your business with daily, monthly, and quarterly insights, the most advanced reports available today. Vision Insights, the simplest, most powerful way to report.
Let's go, what'd you start with? And I think our relationship was Silvertrek, right?
Yes.
Let's just go there, and then we'll kind of lead into it. As everybody knows, I'm no longer with Silvertrek. I sold it in 2019. I'll set it up right now. But Ed was a customer of mine back then. But go ahead if you don't mind. Just teach them why you got in it. And
yeah. Paper reports were the previous mode of communication and reporting, as I'm sure.
You go way back, my friend.
Yes, we were doing paper DARs, daily activity reports. And I think almost anybody that's been in the industry for more than 10 years started out with that, most likely, or did that at some point.
Sure.
Silvertrek was the first report app-based platform that I ever utilized. I loved it. I truly loved it. I think the clients loved it, too. It was so new. What do you mean you can just report everything through an app, and in the morning I get a generated PDF that tells me what you did in the last 24 hours with pictures and priority levels and information about the location and where it is and what it is, et cetera. And so I loved Silvertrek initially. It was so new and different, and it was a great selling point for me. That's what allowed me to get a lot of the residential properties that I'm doing now.
That's what I try to tell a lot of people. I built that when I had my security company. I wasn't planning on selling my security company.
Yeah.
But I built that to help myself. It wasn't a thing to go out to market. So started with parking, went to incident management, then it went to maintenance management, then it went to residents being able to go to a web portal, report, even for parking notices or appeals, reporting incidents and all that. And then I put it in, and I was killing it at the time. The scary part was I told people. And by the way, let me tell you how I got the name. This is interesting. I've never done this.
I've always been curious.
Silvertrek.
Yeah.
What are you, a train?
Where did the silver come from?
No, what it was is my cousin who was writing the code. I had to keep things separate. He didn't want to be. Now, this is after several other trips to Pakistan and all these other places. And I got stolen from. People stole my software. All that. My cousin was a young guy, super brilliant. He worked for Microsoft.
Wow.
And, he was an Apple guy. No, he became an Apple guy. This is before the time. This is before Apple or Android was even on the market.
Okay.
Okay? So far back. So I came to him. He said, I can do that. I can do that. And I'm like, no, you can't. You're a young guy. What are you talking about? You can't do that.
Well, interesting.
Guess what? He could. So long story short, his company was called Silver Key. That was his company.
Okay.
So the fact that we separated, he said, no, I want to call it Silvertrek. I go, how does that go with the guard business? He goes, I want to call it Silvertrek. What am I going to do? It's my cousin. He's writing, he's the code, right? Because we're going to keep it separate. Legally, I don't want it tied to your security business. That's a horrible business. And I go, okay, you got a point.
Yeah.
Okay, you got me there. So we kept it silver. We're going to call it Silvertrek. We'll work around it.
Okay.
Okay, so that's how it became Silvertrek. Thank God I got the track part in.
Yeah.
Everything else, but that's how it became
Silvertrek.
That coincides. So long story short, I built that for the clients.
Yes.
I built it for my clients. Yeah, it was an accountability tool, but the problem was everybody used it as an accountability tool. So that's where it kind of came. So please proceed. Go on.
Yeah, so to your point as accountability, right? What are the, because anybody can ghost paper reports, and that happens so many times. And then you got the client pulling the footage. Hey, his report ends at 6 a.m., but I can see him dropping it through the mail slot at 1. That happens so often. So many contracts were lost because of that. And so SilverTrack came in. Hey, you cannot report unless you're at the property. There's a geofence. Okay. And there's a timestamp on the photos. It's all electronic. It's all digital. You can't manipulate it. And so that for me was like the biggest thing. I'm like, this is phenomenal. This is going to change the industry. And it's going to change my business. Mm-hmm. So I ran with that. And it did well for me for some years until it didn't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nightmare after we sold. And yeah, it's...
Once you left me, you were out of the picture. That's when everything just went downhill.
Yeah. And I got to say this to everybody, and I tell them this too. They want to sell SilverTrack.
Yeah.
Had a tragic event.
Yes.
In the family that caused me to go that direction. And unfortunately, and then I was promised all the great stuff. We're going to take care of everybody. You know how that works. That's not just a sad story. It's not a Jerry Maguire movie. Okay.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I witnessed it firsthand. I was there.
Incredible, huh?
I was there from the beginning. When I first started utilizing SilverTrack, it was 2013. It was early. This is when I was still with Allied. We were using it there. And then I think they started using Destiny Patrol or something.
Yeah.
And then I used it when I opened up Protection America. I'm like, this is my baseline right here. This is what I'm selling. This is how I'm going to keep track of the guards. This is how I'm going to produce information for the clients. This is how I'm going to separate myself. And then everybody started jumping on the train too. And it was like no different than my competitor. Everybody was using SilverTrack or GuardTrack or some track.
Some track, yep.
Of some sort. And then it just did not perform the way I wanted it to.
Yeah. Yeah, I was the first one in North America to come out with real-time reporting.
It was amazing.
That was the first one. And when I went out, because there was no the internet was just coming around. But
yeah.
You know what my marketing was? I'd go to the phone book and rip out page Social Security, and I'd walk in the door. And I'd show them that Motorola brick. That's what it was in the beginning.
Yeah,
everybody told me. Well, before, people go,
oh,
my clients love paper. They love me.
Yeah.
I go, they love paper. They love the carbon copies. They love the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, same time report that was written for your other property at the other end. They love the Disneyland pencil with all the multicolors on them, Coke stains, the burgers. They love all that stuff.
Sure.
Scared me. There was a lot of people who told me that.
Yeah.
And I thought, what'd they do? Sold my business. Nobody wants this? Are you kidding me? And then when it started to go to a BlackBerry, so it took me a long time. And what happened was when the clients started to get the reports, they liked it, and they started to spread, saying, hey, this is what I'm using.
Yeah.
And then security companies start calling me. So, yeah, it started to take off right around then, I think.
You actually influenced business in general. Forget security. When I go to bid now, the requirement is, what reporting platform do you utilize? Mm-hmm. Do you use a reporting software that tracks your guards? That is a requirement now. That was never a requirement. There was no prerequisite for reporting. Mm-hmm. It was just, hey, make sure your guards are writing down what they observe.
Yeah.
But now if you go to bid, if you don't have a reporting platform, you might as well forget about it. You're not even going to be in discussion. And so I applaud you for the difference you made in just not just security, but just like business in general, residential, commercial. Everybody asks for reporting, real-time reporting.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of them, what would happen is be a company like you, a great company that got purchased, and the client said, I had Ed, and everything was great, but this new company came in, and they're not using the tool the way it is, and now we have to do a complete rebuild. I don't know what happened to that portion of it. Can we just buy it? And now what we want to do is, if we're going to buy it, can you write us up something so we can demand that this is implemented the other communities so we don't run into this anymore? Right. And we want to own it. Mm. And I was always trying to tell the guardians, be careful, build it, create data that's valuable to the client that you own. And it's a lot harder for them to get rid of you if you produce value. If you're just doing everybody else's accountability tool, you're no big deal. I flip the switch, bring someone
else
new in. Anybody can do
plug
that.
And play.
Anybody can scan a QR code.
Yeah.
And I tried to beat that up for years. People are going to be people, 85% of the market, if not bigger, small to mid-level security companies. Yeah. So it led to where we are today, and that was an accident.
Was it?
Yep. Did not plan on doing that.
Interesting.
After, I'm pretty stupid, right? You ever hear that story? Screw me once, screw me twice, screw me three times, you're a fool? I'm the fifth, right? So I haven't got that one down yet, but the part was I love the industry. I wanted to do something different. I obviously reinvested in that group. This doesn't look positive, but I was sitting with some guys and they were saying, do you realize if you took your 30 years experience and we dropped that into an AI? And I go, what's AI?
The future.
So they said, what's AI? Oh, have you seen ChatGPT? I'm working with this company called ChatGPT. Before it even went to market, it was like a protocol where they invite a few people to play in. That guy was tied to them.
Interesting.
He said, we could take your database. It's like a Dante program. You've got books and books. And I've got boxes where I'd sit down. It's my own therapy. And I'd write just on tablets my thought process on everything. I want to do this. And I'd staple it, put it, right? Because I wasn't a terrific writer. Then I'd give it to somebody. Hey, let's make sense out of this. This is where I produced all this stuff. I'm going to start Thinkurity. I started Thinkurity.
Really?
I gave that to him. Because Johnny at the time was going over there and he said, Chris, can we please have Thinkurity? And I go, okay. So I gave him Thinkurity, but where's that going?
Yeah.
So anyhow, recap. I get introduced to taking this information going, yeah, you've got all this information on multi-housing, right? Yeah. You got all this information on commercial, how to build it, what their protocols, the whole bit. Let's just drop that in there. And once that's dropped in there, when you get ready to set up a property and you go apartments or commercial, whatever, right? It pulls from that. So now I'm feeding a brain. I'm not asking AI, oh, hey, go look for this.
Yes.
No, I am AI, and I dropped it in AI, and what? It gets smarter each time.
That's it.
And that's where the dynamic comes in. We're very unique. It creates its own issue. It does all those things. So it was an accident, which is great.
It's remarkable.
Yeah. And now we bring support. Now we bring in, it's got to work, service. Scary. And people have no idea. Come January 1, 2026. Remember this one. Wait to see what's coming.
I'm excited. So, I love what we have so far.
How's it helped you?
Night and day from where I was. I mean, in Silver Tracks, real brief, right? You built it. You know it. You pick an issue type. May or may not apply to what you're going to be reporting on.
Thank you. You're bringing up great points.
Pick an issue type. Write your report, your note. You take your photo. You got to flip your phone. And if you have the lock screen option on the iPhone and you flip your phone, it won't flip and you can't take a photo.
Ed, you were actually in the field doing this.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I was an expert in Silver Track. And so anyway, the process was very challenging sometimes. Wasn't as easy to really like implement and train people with vision. I have managers training people on it over the phone on FaceTime. Just a quick call. Here you go. This is what you do. Boom, boom. Done. So with vision, I write what I need to write, and it formulates an issue type for me, which essentially is the theme of the report, the subject line. What am I writing about? I just found graffiti on the wall. Now the issue type is graffiti vandalism or something of the sort. And so it is streamlined to an extent I can't even elaborate on how amazing it is. And I'm not just saying it because I'm sitting in front of you. It is remarkable. I think I just mentioned to you, we started off with vision across the board. We're doing about 2,000 reports per night, per day, per 24 hours. Now we're doing upwards of 3,500. And now everybody's engaged. And I can't tell you how many employees have told me this is so much better than what we were using before. And it's just, it's not just about accountability anymore. It's about communication. So we're communicating with the clients now. We're actually letting them know what's going on. And this is in turn helping them, which reducing liability, knowing what areas they need to improve on, what they need to work on their end, which in turn generates more revenue for them. And so it is a remarkable partnership that we're creating with our clients now. And Vision has been tremendously helpful in that.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing that. That's fantastic. Yeah, we're super excited about it ourselves. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Got the majority of the group coming back. Some of the in staff, the family, very well trained already. They're familiar with all the tools. They know the clients. They know the industry, so it's nothing better than that. So when an employee does call at 2 o'clock in the morning, we have a problem, at least we can walk them through it. We're not going to let them go because we know what you're thinking. Hey, do not let that guy go. He's got to be operational tonight. That's a brand new account. Yes. I cannot have a call in the morning saying, I'm sorry. Oh, I appreciate the support ticket, by the way, but what's your response time going to be on that? I beat that to death, Ed. I told them, even other companies, the software people, just like, you guys, support is everything.
I'm sorry, I left a very key point out.
Go ahead.
Support. You just said it. That was my biggest pet peeve with my previous provider. I could not get through to someone no matter what. And I have to give out a special shout out to Thomas Johnson. Incredible person. Incredible help. Any time of the day or night, I've texted him like, hey, man, this is going on. What's the workaround with this? Boom. Solved. Not to the extent he's reached out to clients on my behest. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just want to let you know this, that, and the other. If there was something I was unclear about, the support is second to none. And I could not get someone on the phone to save my life with SilverTrack, unfortunately.
Yeah, even if you wanted new phones, huh?
I want to add devices, man. I'm trying to increase my bill here. I'm trying to pay you guys more money. I was up to 100-something devices. I'm providing devices, not even letting the guys use their personals. I'm buying phones to use company phones to download your app, and it's not happening. Can't get the devices added till the next day or the week later, a week later. By then, it's over with. I got to go through the list and deactivate ones I haven't used in a while or deactivate ones for a guy who's off today who might be on tomorrow. It was absurd.
Yeah.
But your support is exceptional.
No, I really appreciate that. And by the way, we're not here to beat anybody up, guys. This is just truth.
Yeah. I don't even like doing that, but it is the truth. Yeah. Someone who was with SilverTrack for over a decade, almost my entire career in security, I have a lot of feedback. Because I dealt with it a lot, the good and the bad. There were a lot of good things, too.
Sure.
It was great for a while.
Yep.
But something changed. And vision has definitely filled any void I had prior.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the grave on this one. Most important, support. Yes. I'll say it again. Second thing, support.
Agreed.
Third thing, has to work. Fourth thing, software. Software shouldn't be an issue. The good part is I don't need to talk to everybody saying, what do you want? I know what you need.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it to sound cocky, but we're all aligned here.
Yes.
We communicate. So it's not as if, it's never going to be overbuilt. The team, the family, everybody. So we're all dialed in as a group. So we're all having a very good time. We love helping the industry. We enjoy it. I think when you call and talk to us, you can see that. You can sense it. You can feel it. Nobody's just here to collect a paycheck.
Yeah. No, there's passion behind it. There's like a genuine interest in not only producing a good product, but ensuring that the people utilizing the product are having a good experience.
Yep.
Satisfaction is clearly like a very high motive here. And I think that's paramount because how else are you going to grow if we're not happy? We're the customers.
Exactly. That's right. So 7 o'clock in the morning, we're all drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay? Nothing changes. And we take culture seriously.
Yes.
We use that word. That word means something to us.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's fantastic. But I appreciate your input on that, Ed. I really do. And I can't. This has been a fantastic podcast. Isn't it great just sitting around the table?
It is. I don't really get to do this often. I do this with Stacy sometimes.
Do you?
But to actually dive into things like this and give the full context of just everything from what I've experienced and what I see on a regular basis and what the challenges are that we face in the security industry. Because we're a very needed industry. The one thing I will say about security, because you asked me, like, what's good about it? It is lucrative, one, but it's recession-proof also. It's not going anywhere. It's needed. And now with all the AI and the robots and all the stuff that's changing with artificial intelligence, jobs are being deleted and being replaced. And I don't see that happening with security. I've seen the little security robots and whatnot, but there's only so much that they can do.
No, those would be great for dark places people don't want to go to because it is dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of like a canine dog or a robot. Let's send a robot to go turn the bomb off.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Situations like that. But I'm with you on that. It's people, and that's what we need. And you're right. When the economy's good, it's great. When the economy's bad, it's great. Bulletproof in that end. So my goal is to try to change it with people like you, get operators to think along those lines, do good things so we can change the way people are thinking about the industry itself. Because our clients, we don't have the best reputation with a lot of people.
No.
Now, there are companies like yourself that are putting that, but there's not enough of you doing that. And I don't like to see that happen. I like to see people get stronger or get out, one of the two.
There's a strong stigma around security companies. And we don't have the best reputation, honestly. And I'm sure sometimes clients are reluctant to even want to contract a security company because it's not cheap. And even though it's not cheap, their budgets aren't great. And so in turn, we're not paying the best that we should be. And so that does directly affect the quality of employees that we get. And so it's a very difficult situation to be in. You're not getting paid much and you can't pay much, but you're supposed to provide a guard that's going to secure millions and millions of dollars of assets. And the expectation doesn't necessarily meet the budget. And so that's the challenge. But hey, this is what you signed up for. So I never use that as an excuse. You only paying me $25 an hour. What am I going to do? The difference is the operations, the management, the reporting, most importantly. And that's what separates you from your competitor. We're all getting paid the same.
Yep. And with the reporting, not to give another plug, but as now, we put that together so you can bring even a bigger value to your client. Now you can partner. You're almost there after our babysitter. You can do landscaping. You can do sprinklers. You can do that. We don't have to have an expert. We got things to teach them, train them. They can really partner with their clients no matter what vertical you're doing. That's what Vision was all about. And so it's just like SilverTrack in the beginning. 5 years now, it'll be something else. And we're going to, I remember, if I'm even around, I remember Vision. You could do this and do SilverTrack. I mean, that's a joke. You did what? And then they accepted that? It's changing so quick.
Yes.
Changing so quick. I remember those days, and I think back too, like the written report and all the stuff. God, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe the client even took it. God forbid. You imagine having to do that today? Oh, God. It's brand new. But anyhow. All right. By the way, Stacy, you're next. Tell her.
Yeah.
Tell her she's coming. Tell her in that camera she's coming.
You're coming in.
She's coming in. All
right. You've been enlisted.
I'd love to hear your thought process and operation. That's real important, too. And I want to definitely have you back because this has been a really, this can be very valuable to a lot of people. You're going to be amazed, I think, on the clicks of people watching this. This is a good podcast.
Man, whatever I can do, I appreciate what you've done to help me from day one. This has been a long-term relationship and extremely appreciative of you. When Vision first dropped, you called me. And I was hesitant. Imagine that. How ironic.
Everybody was. Do you realize? The SilverTrack wouldn't have gone anywhere. All they had to do was support it. People were happy. It's not they didn't like it. It was just
the
support.
It was so user-friendly. I'm like, I'm not leaving this.
Why?
Dude. Yeah.
Who wants to disrupt your security business? No. I wouldn't even want to do that. I totally get that. That's why we had to make it easy for that. Because, if it's working right now, hey, you have... I know, as an owner, new devices or teaching the people, talking to the client is a complete nightmare. And if you're not in a position to do that, it's a heavy thought. But tell real quick before we go, since we're here, how easy was the transition?
I was literally about to tell you, I must comment on that. We transitioned SilverTrack to Vision in 24 hours. And we're talking 100-plus properties. 100-plus properties, users, devices. Now every single employee I have, 350 plus, have it on their phone or a site phone. My biggest fear in transitioning was that. How am I going to take all this information from SilverTrack, which I've built over the last 10 years, and plug it into Vision? It's not happening. Thomas was incredible in helping me do that. He did a lot of the legwork. And he will comment and attest to this. I stayed up. I did not sleep for a full 24 hours getting it done. And we got it done in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Well, you're a pit bull. It was remarkable. Yeah.
You're a pit bull. I'm going to have you back.
Anytime.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
It's been a pleasure.
Comment, like, share, and subscribe.